listening to Tech Webcast. This is Cody P. Christian of CBC Studios. Hey, if you're in the need for web design, web development, or multimedia services, please check out www.cpcstudios.com. That's cpcstudios.com.
Welcome to Tech Webcast, Australia's leading technology show. Download our iPhone app, www.techwebcast.info. Welcome to episode 123 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 30th of April 2011. Today's hosts are Brad and Jason, with special guest Tim from MYOB. How you doing this week, Brad?
Hey, what's up, mate?
Hey, it's raining here.
Is it? That sucks. Yeah.
How's it going in Melbourne?
It sun's out and it's a great day outside.
Oh, that's nice then.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I had a bit of a break last weekend. I hope everyone liked to... listening to and watching our special episode.
Yeah, everyone loves that that episode with Robert Scoble.
Yeah, he's great, quite feedback. Interesting to talk to.
Great feedback about that. What any news you want to mention? How's your week been, Jason? What have you been up to?
Yeah, week's been pretty good. As some people know, we're broadcasting live now on live stream. You can check it out at the techwebcast.com site. Then click the link up the top that says live stream.
It's actually .info.
.info, yes. That's what I said.
Oh, did you? I thought you said .com. Sure,
no, I probably did.
Yeah, anyway. Now, I just want to mention, each Thursday at 7 p.m, Aussie Tech is going to be replaying the Tech Webcast episodes, which is going to be pretty cool. And then after that, they go live.
So it's AussieTechHeads.com?
Yes, it is. AussieTechHeads.com. Let me check. Maybe .au, maybe. Let me check. I think it's... AussieTechEds.com.au, that's the one.
Awesome. So, check it out, everyone. Yep. Great show.
It is a great show. Anything you want to mention, Jason? Any news, mate? Or
No, we've got our YouTube channel hooked up. But
yep.
Until we get approval for over 15 minutes worth of shows, I'm just putting in my reviews that I do on my channel.
Okay.
Posting it to my Blip TV, and it copies across to YouTube. So once I get an email from YouTube saying... the content you're doing is all right, and we've opened up your space, and we'll be able to post this other stuff.
Wicked, mate, wicked. And also, if people listen to this podcast, please leave some feedback on iTunes. That would be most appreciated.
Yes, don't forget you can listen to the audio on iTunes or watch the video on iTunes as well.
Yep, sure, mate, for sure. All right, let's talk to the guest, Tim from MYBO. I'm not sure how you spell it. Pronounce it. Tim, how are you, mate? MYBO, yeah, whatever how you spell it. Tim, how are you, mate?
I'm very, very well. Thanks for having me along today, guys.
Short for mind your own business, right?
Yeah, that's it. You've got it.
Yeah.
Nice to have you on the show.
Yeah, it's good.
Thanks. Yeah, the MYB was a little bit of a cheeky dig at, how to look after your own business about 20 years ago when it was started. So, and it's lived ever since, that name.
It's been going pretty strong. Just hear everybody talks about it when they're managing their business.
Yeah, we do. We've got around 1 million businesses now in Australia and New Zealand use our products. And, and you can imagine we've gone through all the different technology, from DOS through to Windows. And of course, now the next wave for us is the cloud and mobile. And, the cloud. our million clients have sort of, come along with us all that way. And, because our job really is to sort of help small business people do what they want to do. Some small business people want to grow their business. Some small business people want to, they're passionate professionals. It might be a dentist or a doctor, a physiotherapist type person, or it might be a family business, where they don't want to grow. But whatever the sort of business, that everybody needs to be able to, do their invoices, do their do their payroll, run their general ledger, do their GST, their tax, etc., and that's what we do for them.
And it's all automated and online?
It isn't at the moment, and that's the challenge, is that, you know, a million businesses at the moment have all got desktop-based products. And the way it typically works, Jason and Brad, is you know, if the three of us decided to get a business together, we'd nominate one of us to go down and talk to the accountant, and he'd say, go off to Dick Smith or Harvey Norman and get that MYOB, and I'll send Betty over who'll come and set you up and get you going. And Betty will be your bookkeeper pal. She'll come in once a week or once a month and do your back office work for you and get you going. So the systems at the moment are all on the desktop. And of course, you know, with a million clients out there on desktop, that's a huge investment that businesses have made in learning this software. That the challenge for us is get it up into the cloud and get it up in where it's online. And there's a whole lot of really good reasons for businesses why they would want to do that. But from a technology point of view, it's a really interesting challenge, and it's a big challenge.
There's going to be a big challenge specifically with security, as we've just heard about even Sony's PlayStation Network recently getting hacked and all of the credit card details and personal address details and names and stuff have been stolen. So you have to be very careful with your security.
Yeah, that's really true. You know, and Amazon this last week or so have, you know, had an outage as well. So not just security, but also uptime, because,
yeah,
you know,
Yahoo as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, so those, I mean, they're kind of the interesting symptoms of an early stage in technology, aren't they? You know, it's not just about the technology. It's also about the ancillary services that go around it, like you mentioned, security, like backup, like multi-country presence, having your data in several jurisdictions so you can get at it if one jurisdiction decides that it's no longer available, et cetera.
Now, your current product, is that Windows only?
It's Windows and Apple. We've got a really big Apple following around Australia and New Zealand, and we're pretty proud of that product. And then it's also, we're about to release views of the product out on things like iPhones and iPads as well, but primarily Apple and Windows.
Nice. Yeah. So do you think, will it be a challenge when you're going to be doing your cloud version? Will it be 100% online like Microsoft Office 365, which was just released this week, or is it going to be a client that you do the work on locally and it syncs with the cloud, or how is that going to work?
Okay, a really interesting question, because, you know, the challenge for small businesses is that they want to work in the office, they want to work at home, they want to work on the road. You know, if you're a plumber, you want to do your invoices when you've finished your plumbing job. If you're, you know, if you're the plumber's friend, you probably want to be working at home and doing the GST or the banking that day as well, not having to wait until the software comes home at night. There's also another whole story here around, you know, the fact that we've got a million clients on desktop. But the real story is that for doing highly repetitive transactions, desktop-based client part of the software or a client version of the software is still the way to go when you're doing multiple transactions. You know, the web's really good for, you know, if you just want to pump out a couple of invoices. But if you're a plumber, for example, and you've come home on a Friday night and you've got, you know, 20 invoices to do, the speed of the web is, you know, is what is between you and your beer for the end of the week, effectively. And you're probably still not going to put up with the latency of a pure browser-based system to do that. So in architecting our new version of the system, we had to take that into account. And the way we've done it is for clients that have a desktop, the next version that comes out during the course of this year, and the first one of that is in beta at the moment, it'll just be an upgrade for them, .NET SQL upgrade for them. And they'll continue running on their desktop. And then they'll be able to say, hey, do I want my data up in the cloud as well? And it's simply for them a push of a button. And it'll synchronize a copy of the database up in the cloud. And they'll be able to decide, do I want my primary database in the cloud, or do I want my primary database down on the desktop? And if they have the primary database up in the cloud, then it opens up that whole world of, you know, other people being able to connect to it, you know, banks, super funds, their accountant and advisor being able to see their data live, that Betty I talked about before, the bookkeeper, she's going to be able to do work on the back office system without having to come over and work on the desktop system. So it'll be a combination of a desktop system with the data and the business rules also in the cloud. And we're using Microsoft Azure to do that, because it was, you know, we looked at all the different cloud things that we could do, and that was basically the only platform that really would take you know, what will be millions of very small databases. A lot of the cloud operations are built around the idea of having a small number of very large databases. And we're the opposite. We're talking about having a very large number of very small databases up in the cloud.
I can imagine as well, if you're a plumber who goes into an area that doesn't have very good 3G signal or something like that, you're going to have trouble doing your bookkeeping if it's 100% cloud-based only. So you would want to be able to do it wherever you are at the time, and then when you get somewhere that's got signal or when you get back to the office, you'll be able to sync it all back through. So you wouldn't want it 100% cloud in that case either.
Yeah, you're spot on. That's exactly the pragmatic approach. You know, that guy's out there at the gate or even at the front door, he wants to pump out the invoice. You know, if he doesn't have access to the cloud, he's obviously going to need a device that has a you know, a hard drive and a data or a database, the ability to run the database. But yeah, he'll do the invoice, email it off, or you know, and that might even just put it in the out tray in the email. But all the work's done. As soon as he's connected, it will sync back again with the cloud version of the database, and he can carry on and do the next job.
It's interesting that you're looking to moving to the cloud, even. Apple, there's been rumors of looking to start up their own cloud business. There's rumors they've just purchased iCloud.com.
They're looking to
move music and your email and other documents into the cloud as well. So it's definitely going to be a very big part of the future, and it's good to see that MYOB is keeping up with their progress.
Yeah, thanks for that. It's kind of interesting, too, when you... when you think it through, you know, you start getting all of these big systems up in the cloud. You start getting individual databases, but with the business rules around the outside, and all of a sudden you've got a platform, and you can start to think about things like connecting that platform with other sources of data. So, for example, we've already connected to around 110 banks now, where the banks feed your banking transactions in every night into the back of your data. It pattern matches it automatically. So, if for example, there's a, you know, a credit card transaction that's come in that said you bought some petrol at Shell or at Mobil or wherever, and it'll pattern match and say, hey, the MYOB system in the future will know what to do with that transaction without you having to go in and do it. And for most small businesses who don't really know a whole lot about, you know, debits and credits and general ledgers and back office systems, etc., that sort of ability to be able to connect data sources with your data and have it automatically pattern match and do the work for you is pretty cool.
I can imagine that it would be very useful if, say, you send out, you know, 20 invoices, and one at a time over the next week or so, or even two at a time, they get paid, and MYOB will automatically know from the bank transactions which ones have been paid, which ones hasn't, and which you need to send out new invoices saying, warning, you haven't paid your invoice yet.
Yeah, that's exactly how it's working now. So we've got a product in market now called Live Accounts, which is cloud-based only, and it happens to have a web front end to it because it's for very small businesses with a small number of transactions. But that's exactly how it is at the moment. You do your invoice, you email your invoice off. Once the invoice is paid with a Pay Now button, then the transaction's trapped in the bank. It comes into your back of your business system every single evening, pattern match to say that particular invoice has now been paid, and you know that that's one debtor that you don't have to chase up this week.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask about if I had a Pay Now button. I've heard other systems which do, and they've said that bills tend to get paid a lot faster because the Pay Now button is there and people can pay straight away without having to figure out where do I go to log on and how do I get my password and everything back in there and then pay. And it's just much easier if you see Pay Now. People are more inclined to just pay now, in fact.
yeah, that's right. You know, and it's for us, it's this constant, you know, vision or view of trying to say, how do we make it simpler for small businesses? How do we take away a whole lot of that, you know, going and collecting debt? If you've got a Pay Now button on your invoice, then it makes it more efficient for people to pay you, so you're more likely to get paid, and that's good for your cash flow. It means you don't have to spend time chasing debt, etc. So we're constantly looking at that. And one of the things that we've done just recently, which is kind of interesting as part of all of this initiative too, we've just joined up with Google and released a product in the marketplace, which is a very simple website builder. And it came out of a bit of research we did that said 68% of Aussie and New Zealand businesses don't have a website. And that was a stunning figure for us. It said that that 68% of businesses are not being found in the way that we as consumers go about finding new businesses. You know, you just think about it. People listening to this webcast, you know, the three of us, when we go and buy something new, probably the first place we go is a browser, and we go to Google or Bing or something like that, and we look it up. And the results that we get back are business websites or people who have got businesses that have got a website. And it means that 68% of Australia's businesses are not turning up in those results because they just don't have a website. And we went and did some more research and said, why is that? What's the reason for that? And what we found is that it's hard. You know, you've got to get a domain name, whatever that is. You know, if you run a coffee shop or a bike shop or you're a plumber or something, you just don't know about things like domain names and hosting plans and website builders, and it all gets too hard. And they all say to us, hey, I want a website, but it's just a bit hard, so it's a bit further down my to-do list. So we've launched a website builder with Google, and we launched it about 6 weeks ago, and it's essentially like Facebook for business, and it's called MYOB Atlas. And you can find it at myob.com.au, and it's free and it's easy to set up a website. We've made it so that for the first year we'll give the domain name away, and Google is sponsoring it with us to be able to give away the website builder. But it takes about 15 minutes to build a website that Google are then search engine optimizing. Now, in that period of time, in the 6 weeks that we've had it in market, we've had over 10,000 websites built on it, and it's amazing. Yeah, it's really going off, and it's really saying to us, wow, there's a big need out there just for a very simple template driven website that allows your business to be found. But the real secret for us in this is that, going back to the original story, is that once we've got a large number of people with websites like this, we're going to be able to say to them, hey, you can now connect your website to your data that's live online. So if you've got stock, for example, inventory in your data that's up in the cloud, you should be able to publish that inventory up in a shopping cart inside your Atlas website. You should have a shopping cart that says buy now, and you should have a button on there that says pay now. And that's when we start joining all the dots together. We start saying, well, you've got your inventory in your back office system. You've got the description of it, the price, a photo. You've got a website. You should be able to publish that up in a shopping cart nice and easily and get a pay now that goes back to your bank. Your bank then matches that with that order that came in from you from the website, and bingo, you've now got a business that's working while you're asleep. And so, you know, it's initiatives like that that start to get really exciting for us when we start thinking about getting small businesses up in the cloud and in a way that's nice and easy for them.
Yeah, you have to have everything integrated to allow people to be able to do the shopping whenever they want to. Some people want to do it at lunchtime online when they get a few minutes in the office. People are so busy these days, they don't always have time to go in the shops. I mean, even Jerry Harvey, is it, from Harvey Norman, who's been saying nobody wants to shop online for so many years, has just announced that he's going to be doing online business from now on. You just can't get away from it. It has to be done. So all these businesses through the Atlas are definitely going to be picking up a lot and getting a lot more custom, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, spot on. So it's an exciting time for small business because, I mean, you know, this next wave that's coming through as businesses move from desktop to cloud-enabled systems. I think we've really just started. I mean, we've got a sort of a vision at MYB about how this is going to play out, and we're spending a lot of money doing that. But I think that, you know, in 5 years' time, it's going to look quite different. The way you run your business is going to look quite different, where you'll have, you know, a whole lot of things all connected. You'll have a very connected world where, you know, it won't just be about the information that you put into your business back office system. There'll be information put in there by your clients. There'll be information that's put in there and extracted out of there by your accountants. There'll be information that comes in there, you know, through live feeds like banks and super funds and even the tax office. You know, you'll do your tax return in your system and poke it straight into the tax office, and you'll even take some of that stock that you've got online and you know, your inventory products and poke it up into eBay or Trade Me or other online markets as well. So it's a really exciting time in the next 4 or 5 years, you know, as we bring these sort of tools to market.
Yeah, for sure. Tim, question for you, mate. Any plans for an iPad app or iPhone app for this sort of thing?
Yep. Yeah, we do, you know, because again, that's the the part of this next wave, isn't it? This whole idea of being able to work wherever you want to work. And, you know, and look, it's all right for some of us to lug around a PC or a notebook, you know, that's in open it up and wait till it comes up. But for a lot of people, all they want is a small form factor device like an iPad or an iPhone. So our first iPhone and iPad application comes out in around July or August on our Apple products. And it's appropriate that it should on our Apple products as well. But it won't be the full system. It'll be a snapshot view because it'll be about saying, well, what do you want to do on an iPad or an iPhone? You typically won't want to do a whole lot of the, you know, the back office GST type stuff, but you will want to do things like look up a contact or you know, look up a debtor because you're going to go, or a new client because you're going to visit them, and have that connect with Google Maps because you want to be able to go there, or have a look at what they bought last time, or see their outstanding debt, or raise an invoice for them when you do a job because you're out doing that. So we think that what will happen is these mobile devices over time will have a view of your system that's appropriate to the job that you want to do at the time, but it won't be the same as a desktop system that will have, you know, a view of every bit of your system.
Very good. Do you own an iPad or an iPhone, Tim?
Yeah, both.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, I'm a tragic. And even my little Dell computer that I've got here has got an Apple sticker on the front of it too.
Oh, wicked.
Good stuff, iPad 2?
It's an iPad 1, actually, but I had a good look at the iPad 2, and it's a cool device. There's no question.
It is very cool.
It is, yeah, I got one.
I travelled overseas recently with the iPad, and I just put a blog up on the ABC blog as well around just how useful the iPad is, as a mainly because there was free Wi-Fi everywhere. And, you know, as soon as you get into this concept of free Wi-Fi everywhere, or the idea that you can always be connected, suddenly how you use those devices just changes. You know, in this case, we were traveling, so we were able to do the obvious things like keep in contact with people through email and the like. But we were also able to do things like, you know, stand in a cathedral and flick over to Wikipedia and learn about it. And so it enhances your experience at the time. So these small form factor devices like iPads and iPhones are, you know, we're not going to sort of have them as devices. One of my sons said to me the other day, he said, I don't really have an iPhone. I have a relationship. Mm-hmm. And you know, you kind of keep these things with you. They're the way that people contact with you. They're the way you keep connected with your world. And so for small businesses, that is going to be a way that they'll want to keep connected with their business world just as much as they'll want to use it to keep connected with their personal world.
Definitely. All right. So, Jason, we'll chat to Tim in a minute about some tech news up next, mate.
Yeah. And today on Tech Webcast Tech News, Hulu Plus for Xbox 360. The service is launching and you're basically getting the Hulu interface with which you're familiar, plus a few Kinect add-ons including voice control and gestures. With sufficient bandwidth, you also get high-quality streaming on what Microsoft is calling the biggest screen in your house. The service will be available for free from April 29th to the May 6th and will thereafter cost $7.99 a month. And Hulu Plus on Xbox Live key features include more TV from Hulu Plus together with Xbox Live. The Hulu Plus subscription service on Xbox Live. Instantly watch your favorite TV shows from ABC, Comedy Central, Fox, NBC, MTV, and more on the biggest screen in the house in HD and controller free. Always something new to watch. Hulu Plus offers hit TV shows and classic movies anytime in HD. Instantly stream any current season episode on top of shows like Modern Family, 30 Rock, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart and many others. Catch up on full back seasons, including Lost, Chappelle's Show and Battlestar Galactica, or explore hundreds of acclaimed movies from the Criterion Collection. Now, we've heard maybe there's a rumor that it might be coming to Australia. We're still not sure yet, but it's definitely been launched in America already. I think, Brad, you were interested in that if it ever did come to Australia.
Yeah, I would be very interested.
Who would need Foxtel or Live2Air TV for that matter?
I just found out yesterday on BoxyBox that Crackle app is on the BoxyBox now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. We were having a look at that before. You suggested I install it and checked it out. It's got some interesting movie reviews and things on there.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Sony's PlayStation hacking incident has affected around 715,000 local customers in Australia in one of the largest security and privacy breaches ever to hit Australian shores. With credit card details amongst the information that could have been stolen by hackers, the New South Wales Police Fraud Squad advises users to check with their issuing bank before deciding whether to cancel their cards. The Australian Federal Police has warned that if a customer's personal data was hosted offshore, it could not be protected by Commonwealth law. However, banks have been quick to allay fears, saying customers will be compensated for any genuine fraud cases. As reported earlier, Sony Computer Entertainment Australia said personal details such as names, billing and email addresses and birthdays is among the information that hackers may have acquired during security breach which occurred between April 17 and April 19. But it took the electronics and gaming giant more than a week to come clean on the hacking. The company is yet to confirm where Australian customer data is stored, with a spokesperson saying, due to the current security-related issue, we are unable to provide details in regard to global network data or systems. Globally, the incident has potentially affected up to 77 million account holders. So just be happy you got an Xbox, right?
Yep, definitely.
A computer glitch at a New Zealand supermarket led to its doors being opened despite being officially closed, allowing shoppers to walk away with free groceries. At 8 a.m. Friday, the New Zealand supermarket's computerized system opened its doors and switched on its lights, ready for business as usual. The only problem was nobody had actually told the computer it was Good Friday, a day when supermarkets in New Zealand don't open, and there was not a checkout person in sight. That didn't stop the locals in the North Island city of Hamilton, and soon the pack and save aisles were as busy as any normal day, although shoppers were filling their carts and walking straight past the checkout to their cars. Police, alerted by a member of the public who told them dozens of people were leaving with truckloads of groceries, raced to the scene, but by then most people had finished their shopping and left. When we arrived, there were cars leaving all over the place, said Sergeant Guy Callahan. There were some people in the shop at the checkouts legitimately purchasing items using the self-service facilities and others in the store. We couldn't tell who had paid and who hadn't, so our first priority was to close the supermarket and contact the owners. Owner Glenn Miller appealed for those who left without paying to return. He said he would contribute the money to the Christchurch earthquake appeal. And one of Australia's largest Apple stores could soon open in Brisbane within months after plans for a $10.5 million renovation of the historic MacArthur Chambers were lodged yesterday. If approved, the potential Apple base would be bigger than Sydney's flagship Apple store at almost 2,000 square metres, though one of its three levels is dedicated to office space. Although Apple is not mentioned in the application, the planned renovations have all the signatures of its outlets, including twin glass doors, a new colour scheme of shades of white, illuminated interior signs, a stone floor, and tellingly, new feature stairs. A glass staircase was the hallmark of Apple's first Australian store in Sydney's George Street and can also be seen in the company's flagship store in Fifth Avenue, New York. The application to Brisbane City Council, lodged on behalf of MacArthur Central Shopping Centre yesterday, also reveals plans to spend $3.84 million removing current modern additions and returning the building closer to its original form. That includes the removal of escalators, a lift, tiled ceilings and part of its mezzanine level. The renovation is estimated to take 3 months. The 1934 English Renaissance-style building was previously occupied by bookseller Dimmicks and now houses a discount book retailer, but the central Brisbane location is steeped in World War II history. So Brisbane should be getting a nice new Apple store, which would be quite nice.
Cool. Sounds good, mate. Just want to get your views on the wedding and the white iPhone 4, Jason.
I didn't watch the wedding, but no. I saw everybody posting about it on Facebook and Twitter. The royal marriage was apparently a really good and interesting show, and a lot of crying girls around Australia and probably around the world.
Yeah, I watched for like 5 minutes.
Live streamed through YouTube, I believe, too.
Yeah, and also there was a live stream on Boxybox, too. He put it up for us to watch, but it was very busy. White iPhone 4, what's your view on the white iPhone 4, Jason and Tim?
Not interested myself, but I'm waiting for the next one to come out, which I've heard recently from podcasts, maybe just a iPhone 4S.
Oh, really?
Faster systems using chipsets that are in the iPad 2 and such, and not actually a new iPhone 5 device, so... I'd probably still be interested in it because I don't really want to wait another year for an iPhone 5 to come.
Yeah, true.
But apparently there's a problem with the iPhone 4 being that it's 0.2 mils larger than the iPhone 4 Black, and thus a lot of the cases, if people already have them, will not fit on the new one. So people have to go out and buy all new cases.
What about you, Tim? What's your view on the white iPhone 4, mate?
It's interesting because, I mean, on the outset, it seems like a cosmetic thing to do, you know, black one, white one.
Yeah.
You know, it goes against the old Henry Ford idea of you can have any color you like as long as it's black.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was always interesting, too, because, you know, the backstory behind doing it and why it was so late was interesting around how, just the technology involved in the fact that it was a different color meant that it did all sorts of things. It was more prone to UV damage. It cracked easier, et cetera, et cetera. So even the plastics technology was kind of interesting. And I saw that story too about it being ever so slightly bigger than the black one. So that's going to cause a bit of a problem for all the people who make the cases.
Yeah, exactly. So what sort of case do you use for your devices, Tim?
What have I got? I'm hard on my phone. So
yeah.
they get knocked around. They get used a lot, et cetera. I'm just looking for it, actually. But I've got a hard shell case on mine, which makes mine another couple of millimeters fatter than it needs to be. But it preserves it.
Yeah, that's good. As long as it's protected and stuff, you don't want to...
Yeah.
Drop it or any of that.
Yeah, I've got a nice little leather holder for my iPhone 3GS and clips onto my belt. So
good stuff.
Bulky pockets, but I also got a nice little case for my iPad 2 here.
Yeah, I also use the new Dodo case from them. That's a great case.
Yeah.
The house.
Is it one of those ones that hide it in what looks like a book?
No, I've actually seen that. That looked pretty cool.
People think you're carrying around a book when you're up inside.
Yeah, Rob Scoble did a great chat with Sam.
Mm-hmm.
He brought in some iPad accessories. That was really good.
Cool.
And also he did a review on some good headphones too, which I might be interested in getting too, which for the iPhone and iPad.
Do you know who makes them?
Bigger Sound or something like that.
Oh, okay. I got the AJ's 4 headphones, black ones that I use all the time. They're quite nice.
Okay. When did you get them? Did you get them a while ago, did you?
Yeah, I did a video review. It should be on the Tech Webcast.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
YouTube channel by now.
Good stuff, mate. And also, Tim, anything else you want to add before we go, mate? Any else we missed out?
Yeah, no, not really, but just thanks for having me on, and I'd love to keep coming back on because we've got, you know, as we progressively move through this process and releasing these elements of this ecosystem of applications, you know, there's some interesting stories in parts of them as well. So I'd love to come on back. You know,
there's an
interesting story about, you know, how we're working. We're on the worldwide board for Microsoft's Azure, for example, in helping them because, you know, we're one of the first major volume adopters of Azure. So there's an interesting backstory about, you know, how that came to be and what's in under the covers of Azure too. So we, you know, next time perhaps we can have a talk about those sorts of things as well.
Sure. Anytime, mate.
Yeah, we look forward to having you back.
Yeah, anytime. Yeah. And also you can
find
very interesting. And also you can find this episode on the AussieTechHeads.com.au each Thursday night.
And you can also find us on Blip TV, YouTube, iTunes, Boxy Box, Roku Box, Popcorn Hour. We're everywhere now.
What is Popcorn Hour?
It's like a Roku or Boxy Box type thing.
Oh, is it like a device? Is it or something? Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Cool. Mm. Good stuff. All right. Well, this has been episode 123. Thanks, Jason.
Yeah. You can find me at jasonoakley.me.
Yep.
And also on Twitter, WAULOK Warlock.
Good stuff. You can find me on Twitter, Brad Oz, Tech Luster and Tech Webcast. And Tim, where can they find you, mate?
They can find me at tim_molloy, MOLLOY.
All right. Good stuff, mate. Thanks for being on.
And
coming up soon, I'm going to have my new computer. Can't wait. That's going to be a big topic next week.
Yep.
And thanks, Jason.
Look forward to hearing about it.
Yeah, you will.
Give us a unboxing review.
I'll try.
Cool.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks, Jason.
This is Tech Webcast. Computers.
Technology. Gadgets.
Another geeky stuff.
It's on iTunes. It's awesome.
And it's from the future.
Follow us at twitter.com/techwebcast.
And
on Facebook. And check techwebcast.info for info. Tech Webcast.
Turn on. Tune in. Drop up.